Hallelujah to Jesus. Please take your seats. If you have your Bible with you, would you open to the second chapter of the book of Luke? How many of you, there's certain scriptures that really help frame your life? You've found a piece of the Bible and you know that is God talking about you, is God talking to you. Have you done that? I will never forget the first time I read the last bit of the book of Isaiah. I think it's around the 65th chapter, it's a tiny verse, and it said, I was found by a people who weren't looking for me. And talking of God himself, saying that people who weren't looking for him had found him. And when I read that scripture, that jumped out at me. I said, wow, that thing is me. That scripture is me. That is me in a nutshell. I wasn't looking for God, but he found me. And I'm so grateful. I just wish he'd found me when I was 8 rather than 18. Praise God Almighty. I think the crime stats in Tottenham would have been a lot less. Praise Jesus. But we are where we are. Can you say amen? Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 52. Before we read, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I love that piece of scripture. Like I said just before, you know, there's certain scriptures whereby when you hear them, it's like God marks them on your heart. He writes them on your heart. How does he write them? Well, the Bible says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So if you find a scripture that ministers to your heart like that, don't just let it sit there. Put it on your tongue so that God can write it on your heart. It's a really, really, really important concept to grab. You know, there's certain things in life, if you get them, there are certain life lessons you can learn that if you get them in the early days of your salvation, then things just work in your favor. It's amazing how God does that. He'll just take something. He'll take, what do they call it? The ABCs of the Christian life, the attitudes, the beliefs, the concepts of the Christian life that you can take. You can establish them by sticking them on your tongue until they become written on your heart. And then you don't need a Bible to be able to recite them. You can just take the word of God and you can just declare it because it's already written on your heart. And this is one thing I've really found. As you allow God's word, the Bible says, to dwell in you richly, the way it works is that as those words are written on your heart, they help to shape your heart. And we live according to the content of our heart, according to what the Bible says. The Bible says, diligently guard your heart because out of it flow the issues or the forces of life, of your life. Say it out loud. My life is determined by the content of my heart. My heart is determined by the word written on it. Now, if that's all I say today, I've done my job. That's it. The Bible says, out of the abundance or out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there is a perpetual cycle that happens. God's word ends up on your heart, comes out your mouth, ends up on your heart, comes up your mouth, and so on and so forth until it molds you and shapes you and fashions you into the person that God wants you to be. Can you say amen? So we really must understand that. Now, this scripture here, this Luke 2:52, this is what God wanted me to share on this morning. And he said this. He said, favor is like an egg. Favor is like an egg. He said, it takes a while for an egg to develop. And then after a while, that egg hatches and the contents of that egg become effectively a living individual. And he said the process is very much like that. You know, the Bible says that we are saved by the favor of God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's not because of how great you are that you're saved. It's not because of how bad you were that you're saved. It's not because your parents were Christian that you're saved. It's not because your parents weren't Christian that you're saved. No, the Bible says, by the favor of God, we translated it as grace. That doesn't mean anything in 21st century talk. That word grace, charis, literally means favor. By the favor of God, you are saved, and not that of works. It weren't because you were holy when you walked into church. It weren't because mama raised you well or daddy taught you to shoot straight. It's literally because of the favor of God. I will have favor on whom I have favor, says the Lord. And I shall show mercy on whom I show mercy. Looking back over my life, if I was God, I wouldn't have saved me. Really and truly, there's far more deserving people of salvation, far more righteous, far more pious, far more, religious or whatever you want to call it. Far more nice people than me before I got saved. I'm great now. Okay, then. All right, we'll move on swiftly. But shush now. Sorry, little ruck breaking out in the corner there. You see, when the favor of God is on you and you respond to that favor, it changes you. It starts to mold you. It starts to fashion you. It starts to take root on the inside of you. And I remember looking back over my life. I got saved in August 1984. And there was no outwardly discernible sign of God's favor on my life for probably the first four and a half years of my salvation. You couldn't have told by external means. So if you were on the outside looking in at what had happened to me, you'd have said, oh yeah, well, you know, Paul's changed a lot. He's like, you know, he's a lot less edgy. He's a lot less jumpy. He's a lot less, criminally minded. Dear Jesus, I took a lot of oil to get that thing out of me. He's a lot nicer. He's a lot straighter. There's some sort of character bits, but from the outside looking in, you couldn't have told that there was any discernible change. There were no outward signs of the favor of God present on my life. And in fact, you know, I didn't even know for the first 4 years of my salvation that there would be any external signs. And looking around at the body of Christ back then, really and truly, there weren't many external signs of the favor of God on hardly anyone's life. You know, we were as sick as everybody else. We were as poor as everybody else. We were as crooked as everybody else, as guilty as everybody. There were no discernible things, no discernible outward signs. But you know the way the favor of God, and this is why God said the favor of God is like an egg. It just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, stick with the program. Yeah, because you see, God's favor, it's like drip, drip, drip. The way God showed it to me, it's like, you know, have you ever seen those master yacht builders? Anyone ever seen any of those? The Discovery Channel. They did a series of programs about these yacht builders. And there was one guy who built these like gondola type things, the things that you get in Italy. And the way they bend the wood and the process that takes time. And then they started to put the lacquer, the varnish on the actual wood to make sure the thing wouldn't rot. And the guy, like the painstaking work that this guy put into it, he put one layer and the layer just soaked straight in. And then he put another layer, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. 24 layers of varnish was going into this wood. And then at number 24, he stops and he says, right, this thing is done. And this thing is now gleaming and shining. And God said, as I was watching that program, God was like narrating the thing to me. And he said, this is what I'm going to be doing in your life. Layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. You can't see maybe the first 10, 12, 13 layers because they've gone straight in. They've sunk right in. Because you see, the depth of work that God does is not immediately visible. You take the story of the guy who built his house on the rock and the guy who built his house on the sand. By the time the guy who was building his house on the sand had already finished his house, because it was built on sand, the one who was building his house on the rock wasn't even barely into the foundations. Have you ever tried digging into rock? It's terrible. You know, if your dad asked you to move some rocks or whatever, and you had to break them first, and like busting a rock will take hours and hours and hours. And the Bible says that Jesus said that whoever hears my word and does them shall be like a guy who built his house on a rock. In other words, he built it the slow way. He built it the steady way. He built it the, what does the Bible say? Line after line. Precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. I get nervous sometimes when I see something flash in the pan. Because if you read scripture, flash in the pan isn't God's way. Amen. Amen. Anyone felt you've had to take the long way through life? That's not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing at all. Slow and steady, bit by bit, step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, and then suddenly you've got 24 layers of favor on your life, and that favor has built and built and built, and then it becomes visible. And then everyone says, wow, I want to be like him, or I want to be like her. I want a marriage like theirs. Hey, mommy, they didn't see the work. You heard Auntie Glory this morning telling us, what did she say? It's hard work. She says, we've been married 38 years, and her husband nudges her. He says, no, 48. That's called the 10-year hiatus. You understand? It's like you just kind of whoop, you know, 10 years is gone like that. But that's the way, so many times, that's the way God deals with us. Step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, nice and slow and steady, and all the time you're increasing and increasing and increasing all the more. Now, let's read that scripture, Luke 2:52. If you haven't got it by now, Jesus help you. The Bible says, and Jesus kept increasing. Love it. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, don't be in a hurry. Yeah, there's a thing. You know, you ever meet somebody and they're just cool and they're just right on and like, you know, steady as the breeze. That's a great way to be. May you keep increasing in wisdom, in stature, and in favor. The same favor that saved you can increase you in every area of life. What a wonderful way to live. Would you clap your hands for Jesus? Wow. 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 You see, in between the point of salvation, in between the saying, yes, Lord, you know what, I want to live your way. I'm fed up living my way. I want to live your way. In between that and there being the outwardly discernible signs of the favor of God, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of putting to work. The Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So the way I've seen it so many times when I prayed about this stuff is that I've seen it the way Michelangelo saw the big block of stone. that was David. I don't know if you ever heard that. You know, the statue of David, they say, is one of the most beautiful statues ever. I think it was the one that was that voted through history as the most beautiful ever carving from a piece of rock. And they asked Michelangelo, how did you do it? And he said, well, he said that the beauty was there all the time. I just had to chip away at the bits that didn't belong there. And isn't that the same with us, with God? That God chips away a little here, ka-dunk, a little there, ka-dunk. Your cell leader says something. You say, my cell leader said this. Yeah, but was it true? Okay, then that's... Yeah. Do you see what I mean? How many of us, we're after sympathy. When God says something and we say, ouch, we blame the person who said it rather than taking the responsibility to fix it. I'm talking about myself, of course. I mean, you're all perfect and wonderful and beautiful. Hallelujah. But God is always doing this stuff. He's always discerning the thought and the intent of the heart, because it's the heart that matters. It's the inside that matters. Once the inside is right, it's only a matter of time before everything else falls into shape, falls into line, gets into the flow of God. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, may you find the flow of God. Yeah, it's a great, great, great way to be. And God's not, have you ever noticed God is not in a hurry? Jesus, in the few lines of scripture before the 52nd verse, Jesus proved his ministry. The Bible says the wisdom of the guys in the temple. Now, these weren't just Pharisees and Sadducees. These were the temple keepers. So these were the elite of the elite of the elite, Pharisees and Sadducees, looking after the temple. They were the elite of the Levites. And Jesus came in teaching them at the age of 12 years old. And they're looking at this guy and they're thinking, wow, the wisdom. The Bible says literally in the Greek, say he confounded them with his wisdom at the age of 12. But God didn't release him into his ministry for another 18 years. Jesus was 30, the Bible says, when he entered his main level of ministry. But he proved himself at 12. What was he doing in between? Well, the 52nd verse tells us. Put up the 52nd there, please, on the board. He kept increasing in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, if Jesus can do it, I can do it. Yeah. Can you imagine whatever level of favor of God you're working in right now, that you can increase in that level of favor? Wow. Wow. And there's no limit to it. You can just keep increasing, increasing. All the favor, you think about it, all the favor that you and I need to live a successful, happy, holy life has already been bought and paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. Our Savior suffered, bled, and died on the cross, rose again on the third day, and then sent the Holy Spirit to make sure that what he won on the cross could be activated in our lives to its fullest measure. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Yes, this is the good news that we preach. This is the gospel that we preach. This ever-increasing, ever-living, ever-growing entity called faith in our hearts that can cause us to achieve everything that God has ordained us to achieve. Wow. Hallelujah. 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 Nudge your neighbor and tell him he can do it. Yeah. You see, all he needs is our cooperation. It's not our ability. You don't have to suddenly become a rocket scientist. It's your availability. Thank God, because I was as dumb as two planks. Praise Jesus. It's not according to our ability. Thank the living God. It's according to his favor at work, and his favor can grow and grow and grow and grow. Look at Abraham. You think Jesus had it hard. Bible says God watched Abraham for 75 years. Wow. God, watch. Why? Because there was a precious thing that God wanted to do. You think to yourself, a lot of the time, you see, this is how we pray. Oh, Father, do something in my life. God says, I'm doing something. But we don't hear that bit. And it's, oh, God, do something in my life. God says, I'm doing something. Oh, God, do something in my life. I'm doing something. But because we're deaf to the fact, you know what? If you're praying that way, let me call a halt to that kind of praying. Pray this way. Father, I thank you. According to your word, you're doing something. Open my eyes to see what it is that you're doing. Help me to cooperate in what you're doing. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing how many people think that the Holy Spirit is their personal servant. And he's God. It's amazing. Even ministers of the gospel. I know ministers of the gospel who are like, God, do this, do that, do the other. And it's, hang on a second, this relationship is around the wrong way. You remember what Paul the Apostle said? That's why I think God favored him so much. When God knocked him off his horse, one of the first things that came out of his mouth is, Lord, what am I to do? In other words, I understand the protocol of the relationship here. I trust that you're the one who knocked me off my horse. So, Lord, help me to understand you. This is a new level for my life. Help me to cooperate. Help me to say yes. Help me to lead me, guide me by your Holy Spirit. The same way, you know what? The same God who guided Auntie Bim out of that fraud that she testified to. Wasn't that a powerful testimony? Can we praise God for that again? Very powerful. The same God who gave her, you see, what do we call it? We call it an intuition. You know what that is? Inner tuition. Who's on the inside? God. It is God at work in us, both to lead us and to guide us into his good pleasure. Praise God. So that same spirit, nudge your neighbor and tell him, the same spirit that led Auntie Bim will lead you. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, these days, these precarious days, you think about what happened last Sunday, Easter Sunday, people are going to church. People who didn't want to go to church are going to a breakfast buffet in a hotel, and the devil caught both of them. Nasty, sneaky devil. That same voice can lead you out of trouble. That same inner witness of the Holy Spirit can tell you, you know what, don't go home that way tonight, go this way. Do you know what I'm saying? I read a story that, thank God, you know, I don't do dating apps. My one date is in America right now. I don't know if she's watching by Facebook Live, but I love you, honey. I miss you. But I heard a story that the Metropolitan Police had cracked a crime gang. Get how mean and how evil this is, that were using a dating app. Did you read that? In the newspaper, no one saw that in the news. Yeah, like Tinder or Grindr or Gross Out or something. I don't know what it was called. And they were using this dating app to try and lure people into dates. Because you know when you're on a date, like, you know, if you're a man, you put on your nice watch, you put on your nice shoes, a nice little suit or something like that. You know, you want to make sure that when you pay for the bill, that there's like a wadge of notes in there, and she looks over and she thinks, boom, he's loaded, say nothing. You understand? Or at least that's how it worked in Tottenham anyway. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what neighborhood you guys grew up in. And you know, you bring your like gold Amex card or something like that. I don't know what it is. But, you know, and if you're a girl, you want to put on diamonds or pearls, you don't want to be too, Ibby's like nodding her head as if to say, carry on, PP. But... And you just want to look great. And these were using these apps to trap people and then mug them. And I just thought, how vicious, how mean-spirited of these guys. These are perilous times, really perilous. They're out there. And if you didn't know how to discern by the Holy Spirit, if you're on such an app, or there was this other one about the guys selling their laptops on one of the auction sites where there was a stabbing in Enfield Town. A guy lost his life as a result. They were mugging him for his MacBook that he had done on a website to sell. And they tried to nick the laptop. He fought back and they stabbed him. How would you know if you didn't have that inner tuition of the Holy Spirit? How would you know? And thank God for the leading of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord lead you in life. May he guide you. May he protect you. May he raise you up. There's all sorts of things. There's untold agendas. There's all sorts of things that people are encountering and interacting with on a daily, weekly basis. That if you didn't have the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you didn't have his angels watching over you, you'd be stuck. But to me, that's all part of the favor of God. Look at Psalm number 5 and verse 12, please, on the board. Psalm 5, 12. I love this scripture. In fact, Auntie Bim, I didn't know what your testimony would be, but the Lord gave me this scripture, and it's an absolute amen to what has happened in your life. I knew she was testifying, but I didn't know what, because I didn't have time to talk to her properly at length yesterday. Look at this. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. So the favor of God can become a shield to your life. Right? Now, if you read Luke 2:52 in the light of this scripture, then we could say, because favor acts like a shield, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in his shield with God and man. Does that make sense? That we can also allow the favor of God to be your shield in life as well. The favor of God. Let it grow on you. Ask God, Lord, how can I grow in your favor? Never forget the time. Oh my gosh. The time I said to the Lord, Lord, show me how to grow in your favor. He said, well, number one, he said, be more gracious to people. I wasn't very great. Honestly, I'm growing in certain areas, and being gracious to people is one of them. So if I fly past you on the road and cut you up, I apologize in advance. Some of you are looking at me unforgivingly as if to say, yeah, you scum, you've done it already to me. But that's one of those areas. And God worked on me. I'll never forget it. I was at Asda in Watford. And there was, it was Christmas time or something. You know the way things, like, you think London's overcrowded. Just wait till Christmas. And then, like, you can't move an inch. And I'm pulling into this space. And there's me and a woman contesting for this space. And here's me with my number plate pasta, my little fish Jesus, and my little holy self in the driving seat. And I'm having a ruck with a woman about a parking space. And I took the space. And I got out and locked my door. And the Lord said, now apologize to that woman. And I didn't. Can you imagine? Man, that thing dogged me for months afterwards. Because, you know, in the heat of the moment, do you know what I'm talking about? May the Lord protect you from the heat of the moment, in Jesus' name. And so I don't know what I missed. God said to me, he said, you'll never know what you missed by not apologizing to that woman. And I've never disobeyed since. Never disobeyed in that area since. Because, like, the price of missing it in that area. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I want to increase in the favor of God. If that means I have to humble myself and apologize where I've got it wrong, or even sometimes, you know, we need to apologize even when we didn't get it wrong. That's the way it is. But, you know, if that's the case, then so be it, because I want the best of the favor of God. How many of you can say amen to that? Could you stand to your feet? We'll thank God for his word, and then we'll pray and hand over to Ibby. God help us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege of being in your word, the privilege of living by your word, the privilege of ministering your word. Father, I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to the simple. Help us, Heavenly Father, I pray, on this journey called faith. Help us, Lord God, to get it right. To get it right by you, to get it right by mankind. That we may, like our Savior Jesus, increase in wisdom, stature, favor with you, and favor with man. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for the way that you minister to us. We give you all the glory and all the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.